Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there you have it. We are at Brandon Dubinsky Red Alert. We've been talking about it for weeks. He's still not signed, and I said tonight would be the night we go to Red Alert. Ranger fans in a panic. Dubinsky panic, as I called it today. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I am your host, Jim Schmiedeberg. Joe Fortunato tonight is on assignment, if you can call being out at Yankee Stadium and having a beer and a couple of hot dogs and watching the Yankees on assignment, but that is his, so he will not be with us tonight. We have a couple of guest co-hosts going to join us this evening. And tonight we are in Blue Shirt Banner Studio A tonight and joined by a live studio audience. Pretty exciting stuff. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of Ranger news. We'll get into Brandon Dubinsky, the Brandon Dubinsky watch, which now we are down to 17 days until training camp. And the panic is starting to set in among Ranger fans, especially with the news that came out the other day about the Rangers possibly being interested in Matt Sundin. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Also, stories came out over the weekend. The Rangers may be interested in Dennis Seiden. And a couple other things we'll talk about tonight. And we'll get to your phone calls as always. Tonight, we want to set the tone up front. We're kind of in the doldrums here, the off season. There's not a whole lot of Ranger news, just a few things going on, and you know, we've beat a bunch of topics to death. So tonight, want to do something a little different. We figured since Joe's not here, we'll do a little free form radio tonight. What I want you guys to call in, I want to hear maybe some of your Ranger stories. What's maybe you had a chance meeting with a player that you remembered. Maybe it went well. Maybe it didn't. Either way, give us a call. 646-478-692 is the number. Or if there was a game that you went to, or even if you watched it on TV and there was something memorable about it, I'd love to hear the story. I've got a couple of stories that I'll share with you guys as the night goes on. And I know that my my co-hosts that are joining me this evening have plenty of stories that they can share. Let's go to we're going to open up the phones in just a second, but before we do that, I just want to bring in our first guest co-host of the evening, and everybody knows him. He is a Ranger radio legend. He is also the editor of RangerCrisis.com, and you guys all know him as The Mouth, and we appreciate him helping us out tonight, sitting in for Jolton Joe Fortunato. Mouth raced back from Toronto. He was there on assignment for Hockey Barn and taking a little vacation. He was up at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And he raced back from Toronto. I hear he was doing 120 coming down the thruway just to make it to the show in time. Mouth, good evening. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jim. Good evening. I'm a little bit hoarse. Like you said, I was racing at 110 miles an hour until I hit the George Washington Bridge, and then it was a dead stop.
Took you 2 hours to get from Toronto to the GWB, and then 5 hours from the GWB to your lair at 33rd Street in the Sbarro's, correct?
I've got to tell you, that place is a mess. They got to do something with that GWB. Driving me crazy, but I want to say thank you for the invite. When you said one of the best Ranger Crisis announcers, Ranger announcers, I thought, you know, it was going to be Sam Rogin, Sal Messina.
Well, you say we couldn't get Red Light Messina, so here's the mouth.
I'm the cheaper version of Sal Messina, and I'll take that. He is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. While I was up there, I saw him. He's got a plaque and everything up there. But, Toronto, God, I wish I could live there. New York is great. Love New York, but it's just hockey. Everything's hockey up there. That's what I love. But
that's the way Montreal is. It amazed me when I was up there for the draft. Just the end of June, nothing's going on, and it's just Canadians everywhere. And it's a great atmosphere, even when nothing's going on. And I know that a lot of people hate the Canadians, and I'm like you. I know you mentioned this on your show the other night. I love the history of hockey. So the original six teams, I don't hate any of them. I love the history and the fans and the noise and just the atmosphere of it all. And I loved being in Montreal and around those people.
Oh, yeah. There's something to be said for that. We grow up in such a baseball, football, NASCAR culture that it's so refreshing. You feel like you're with your brethren, you're with your people, you're finally up there, everybody's talking hockey. Nobody cares about any other sport. I was up at Gretzky's. It's like 85 degrees. I'm sitting out on the deck, and the next thing you know, I'm talking to a guy about all kinds of the Leafs, where the Leafs are going, and this is all out of nowhere. I didn't even say a word. It's just like, oh, where are you from, New York, or how about those Rangers? That's the first thing we talk about when you say where you're from over there. So it's great. It's great. So, but I'm glad to be back home and on the blue shirt, bitch. I got to say, I was looking forward to this. This is why I rushed home, Jim.
Well, we appreciate it. I really do. You know that. And I love hearing you. I love having talking to you. And even when we talk offline, it's nothing but laughs. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many of you guys heard Mouth's show last week, but it was funnier than anything you'll ever hear on TV. We were a little rough on Paulie D last week, but it was all out of love. And
exactly.
And Paulie's a good sport, and he took it well. And hopefully
love Paulie. He's part of the fraternity.
We love Paulie. Absolutely.
We love him like a brother.
And luckily, he took it all as it was meant, and that was in good humor. And I have my son is visiting with me this week, and I played him the show the other night. We sat and listened to the last half hour of your show, and even he was hysterical laughing. He had no idea who Paulie was. He had no idea who you were, but he just knew it was funny. So you are making quite an impression.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank you for the accolades. Hey, we're doing our best out here, and we're doing a good job. All of us radio bloggers for the Rangers and hockey, because Paulie covers a lot of stuff on his show. He's got a lot of people on about talking about ball hockey in the United States. He's doing a lot for hockey. We're all out here doing our pitching in, but let's face it, just me and you are basically sating the thirst that Ranger fans have for hockey out here in the wilderness we call internet radio.
That's right. And, Paulie D, and I give Paulie D a lot of credit because he's doing a lot to promote hockey in an area where hockey, is never going to be a part. He's on the west, the Gulf Coast of Florida, and, it's got to be tough for him to get the word out there about hockey. So I give him a lot of credit for what he's doing, and you know, we give him a lot of guff, but we really do love Paulie, and he should be joining us in a little while. Well, I was going to go over a few of the things that went on this week, but let's get right to the phones instead. The Ranger news is
all. Phone calls are always fun.
Yeah, the phone call. You know, we got plenty of time. We got 2 hours tonight. We got plenty of time to piss and moan about what's up with Brandon Dubinsky and whatever else is going on. So without further ado, he missed the show last week. Let's bring on Mike from Howard Beach. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Just excellent, gentlemen. Good to be back on a brief hiatus. Of course, I got to get to work, which is just terrible. But what are you going to do? Got a few stories to give. Good to hear the mouth.
How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, good to hear you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, the low class version of Sal Messina, but I guess the high class version of Howard Cosell. It's just a wonderful thing.
No, in the hockey annals, he's the high class version of Jiggs McDonald.
Oh, geez.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
If you like the Islanders.
I can't believe I'm being insulted left and right. Unbelievable.
Down goes Frazier. Unbelievable. First story, and this is between me and you, Jim. If you remember the game we went to a few years back with the Panthers, we were
of course
nosebleed. And, you know, I'm the biggest ticket snob. I wasn't the happiest person going in. But I was very happy. We had a lot of space because I'm a pacer. It was a back-and-forth game. We were losing. And we tied the game with, what was it, 1 second left? Do I have that correct?
It was less than 5 seconds to go, yeah. The Rangers tied the game.
Less than 5 seconds. It was I never hugged a man before so strongly in my life. It was ridiculous.
I'm still tingling from it.
Yeah, sure
and
you
then,
are.
And then the Rangers went on.
I'm getting a little nipply just picturing this.
That's beautiful. And then the Rangers went on to win that game in a shootout.
That's correct. Yes, it was quite an experience.
And the funny thing is that you know, like everybody knows, I live down here in Florida, and the Rangers come to play the Panthers. I go to the game. And I couldn't give you the exact number, but I'm pretty sure that in all the games I've seen down here, only one of them hasn't gone to a shootout. Every time they play, it goes to a shootout. And the Rangers usually wind up losing, unfortunately.
Wow. Just this particular
I'm quite the good luck charm.
You are blessed.
But, yeah, that one that I was with you, Mike, that was one of the few that they did pull out in the shootout. And if I remember correctly, I think Kevin Weeks was in goal that night because Lundqvist was either hurt or they were still resting him from the Olympics. I can't remember what the case was.
Right. That made it even more sweet.
No less you're in the nosebleed section. You sit in your seat, you're ready to go, and they announce in goal, Kevin Weeks. The guys must have been like,
well,
we came to the wrong game here.
That's the other funny thing is that it took like 3 years of going to the game. It seemed like every time they came down here to play the Panthers, Lundqvist didn't play. He was either hurt or it was time for him to rest. A lot of times when they play the Panthers down here, it's part of a back to back nights, you know, usually they'll play the Lightning, and then the very next night they come down here and play the Panthers. So a lot of times they'll give Lundqvist a night's rest on that second night against the Panthers. It was like I must have went to five or six games actually saw Lundqvist play. And it was one night we were at the game and our seats were at one end of the ice and the Rangers were at the other, and I couldn't see I just thought it was Lundqvist, but I couldn't tell for sure from my angle, and I hadn't heard the announcement before the game. And I'm like, man, he just looks too big to be Lundqvist. Then finally, he turned. It was a play behind the net, and he turned around. And I went, geez, it's Valiquette. I missed Lundqvist again. But Lundqvist didn't change my luck because this year when I went to the game, the Rangers lost again. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I'm starting to think it's you. I'm really serious. But
it's always him.
See, there you go. I've been confirmed by Mike from Howard Beach.
Well,
it's
funny because a couple of the stories that I'll share with you guys tonight, you'll see that a couple of them are bad luck and a couple of them are good luck. So, anyway, Mike, you said you had a couple for us. You got it.
Yeah, a couple more. I think one thing everybody might want to share is the first Ranger game they actually went to. Mine was 1974 with my father, as we call him, the Grand Poobah, against the Blackhawks. We were down 6-0, eventually lost 6-1. Jockeman gave up 6 goals. Villemier came in and just shut him down. It was epic. But
too little, too late for Gilles Villemier.
Gilles Villemier, huh?
Greatest backup of all time.
Oh,
no
wait.
Question.
Well,
and I was 7 years old. It was a great experience. Wonderful.
Gilles Villemier trained horses. He was a big harness racing guy, and he was a big time trainer, Gilles. I actually got to talk to Gilles on Bill Chadwick's old show, the Big Whistle Hotline. But that's another story that's pretty X-rated, so continue.
That's another show. I got you on that one. Number two, 1979 Stanley Cup Finals, Rangers, Canadians, Game 1. We were supposed to be swept. Freddie Shiro behind the wall, guiding us. We had no chance, and we did win Game 1. And me and
right.
Poobah were hugging each other, and, man, we're going all the way. Of course, we got swept after that, but what a day that was.
Not only did they win Game 1, but, Mouse, maybe you can refresh my memory on this. Did they not have a 3-0 lead in Game 2?
Leading in Game 2. But they eventually lost the game. I'm not sure about the score, but they were leading. I know at least 1-0. I could confirm that. Now, see, Mike had a nice story. That was in him and the Grand Poobah. They're all excited. The family's in Howard Beach. They're hugging. They're kissing. Whatever they do in that family. Me, on the other hand, my Grand Poobah subjected me to one of the worst tortures that day. Let me recap it. It was Mother's Day. I'll never forget it. I get dragged down to the Moose Lodge with my dad. He got this Moose Lodge hooky falooky dinner package. So, of course, it's like a honeymooners episode. We got to go down because we get all this stuff for like $10 for the whole family. We go down. Now, you know, I'm like 10 years old. The Rangers are in the Stanley Cup. My father, of course, is oblivious that I'm even a Ranger fan at this point. We had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship. And the Ranger game, I'm pretty sure it was on in the afternoon, that game. And I could not see the game, but I was tortured because the game was on in the bar. And I was too young to get in the bar. So I'm like, Dad, take me in the bar. And he's like, "Now, shut up. We're getting our turkey soon. We're getting our stuffings." So I missed that entire game. All I could see was like the reflection off the glass of the bar that was enclosed. And that's all my memories were that Game 1, the only game they won. It took 4 years of therapy for me to get over that.
And you never went back to that little slotch again.
I will never go back to that. We never did after that either. The turkey was terrible.
That's a very touching story. I'm moved.
Yeah, I hope you're not touching yourself. You said it was touching.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Okay. But, yes, that's a true story. It was Mother's Day. I'm like 99% sure, but that was a big game. And no one, as a matter of fact, in that game, I think it was Game 2, that's where Michelle LaRocque was going to start that game. They booed Dryden in Game 1. They're booing Ken Dryden. I mean, it's ridiculous. And LaRocque was going to start Game 2, but he got hurt in practice. And what happened? He got hurt. What?
Is that Bunny LaRocque?
Bunny LaRocque. Michelle Bunny LaRocque.
Okay.
he got during warm-ups, he got hit with a shot, and then they had to put Dryden back in. Now, come on. If Buddy LaRocque plays the rest of that series, it may have been a little bit different, but I think the results would have been the same, but still, just a little side note.
Well, they were the juggernaut. There's no doubt about
right.
it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Anyway, last one before I go.
All right.
You know, this is like an easy one. 94, Game 7, the Matteau game. And I was at the Plaza Bar and Grill in Bricktown, if you know that place, Jim. I don't even know if it still exists. Watching that, and what made that, it's not so much the Matteau, obviously the Matteau goal, but the fact that the Devils tied it in the last, you know, several seconds. And just the deflation and then the inflation at the end. I mean, I lost 10 years of my life, I'm sure, on that one game.
Yeah, that was ugly. I was in my first marriage that night, my ex-wife, and when she got upset with me when Zella Pukin tied the game with 7 seconds left or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I lost it. I went absolutely ballistic. I started throwing stuff around the house. I was kicking the wall, and she uttered the worst line that, in my opinion, a woman can ever say to a man, as far as sports is concerned.
I was going to say
it's only a game.
Only a game.
And that was the last thing I wanted to hear. And I started screaming at her. It's not just a game. I said it's 20. You know, I said for me it's 25 years of losing and blowing games and series and should have beens and could have been. And oh, I just went, oh, yeah, that cost me a couple of flowers. And yeah, I had to take her out to dinner, I think, after that. But yeah, that was ugly. At that moment, it was ugly.
Well, I got the same business when the Yankees beat the Mets in the World Series in 2000. My ex-wife gave me that same line, and it cost me $1,000 in sheetrock. So I get it.
That's a little bit more costly.
Yeah.
That's why we always rented.
My story about that night is, of course, ludicrous. I had about 8 to 10 Ranger fans in the house and in my house watching it. I wasn't married at that point, or I probably would have gotten the same things you guys got. You know, it was when the goal went in. I couldn't believe it. It, like, took all the air out of me. The whole, my whole heart just fell. It crushed my heart. I get a phone call immediately, and I pick it up, and it's one of my Islander fans. He goes, just like this. He goes, 1940, and he hangs up. Now, I had a pretzel dish in my hand. I took the dish, and I smashed it against the floor, scattered it to 100 pieces. It was shrapnel all over the place. It hit one of my guests, and he was actually scared. He thought I was going to go nuts. And I never forgave that guy that called me and said 1940, because to me that was the lowest thing you could imagine somebody doing that to you at that point when you're just about, let me tell you. I almost did some jail time after I caught up with that guy, but, you know, cooler heads.
I'll take the $1,000 in sheetrock over that.
Yeah, I mean, think about that, 1940. Oh, my God. It still bothers me.
Yeah, I know.
It's scarred.
I don't know. You know, it's Islander fans. What are you going to do? Hey, Mike, we're going to move along. The phone lines are full. I appreciate you calling. Good stories, man. And,
thanks for indulging me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Well, might as well just take it up. We got phone lines are lit up. Everybody wants to share their Ranger stories tonight. So let's go to 973-580. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and the Mouse. Who's this?
Hi, guys. How you doing? This is Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
How are you?
You know me as Froze99.
Oh,
Froze99. Frosty,
I'm not
we finally
too
got
good, but I just wanted to call you guys and just add a little bit to your show tonight. I'm so glad the Mouth is on. He's my favorite.
Frozy knows his stuff. He knows his range of puck. I'm telling you, sometimes I see him in the chat room. Me and him are on some kind of same, we're on the same line.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Now I'm a little older than you guys, so I don't want to bore you, so I'm going to just get a real quick story in real fast, and then we can move on to some younger guys. But,
you'll never bore us with the old stories. Two guys who we could listen to this type of stuff from now until the season starts. I could never make enough of it.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm 14 years old. I'm in St. John's School in Orange, and a friend of mine, his father is a police officer. And he used to get Ranger tickets all the time. And, of course, we used to play street hockey and all that stuff in the backyard. And he decided that he was going to take us to our first game. So it's Wednesday, October 9th, 1974, the Rangers' home opener against the Washington Capitals, their first game ever. Eddie Jockeman versus Ron Lowe, I believe. And
about right.
Yeah. Now, they had something we've never seen before. They had Mike Marson. Now, everybody knows Willie O'Ray, but we never saw him play.
Right.
So they had the first black hockey player, and it was pretty nasty at the Garden. He got a lot of abuse around the boards, but because you got to go down there in the beginning, it's tough to get down there now. But we were in Section 309.
Wow.
And you know what the price of the ticket was back then?
I'm going to go with like $8.
Boy, well, right on the head, $7.50.
Wow.
Those were the old green seats, weren't they?
Those were the old green seats, and the guy with the trumpet had just begun, I believe, in that section.
Wow.
I don't know if he's even there anymore. But, you know,
I sat next to Trumpet Guy at a matinee game once when I was about 10 years old. And you're right on the money, because I remember sitting in the greens that day. My dad used to get a lot of tickets through work, through some clients, that was the first time I'd ever sat in the green seats. And I remember Trumpet Guy. It's funny you mentioned that.
And it was weird because it was a suit and tie crowd, and everybody was able to smoke in the stands, and it was a lot different than it is today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, big time. I mean, how did you feel going to that game, Rosie? I mean,
I'm
going to
tell you, I was in heaven because I've never seen anything as big as Madison Square Garden in my life. My biggest thrill always was walking into – now, don't you guys laugh because I'm a Met fan, but I always used to get a thrill of walking in from the upper deck and you spot the green grass the first time. And that's how it was when I saw the ice when I walked into Madison Square Garden. Because we didn't have cable back then.
Sure.
We had the TV we watched Channel 9 with the rabbit ears, and that was it.
Right.
Right.
So the first time you walk into Madison Square Garden with all the smoke and all the hockey players with no helmets, it was incredible.
Who was your favorite back then?
My favorite is still Eddie Jockeman. He is my idol of all time. I took the Bob Froese name because I met Froese a few years ago as I was walking through the garden. He was actually just standing there eating pizza. And I said, hello, Mr.
Huh?
I said, excuse me, Mr. Froese, would you mind if I shook your hand? And he said, oh, my God, it's an honor, sure. And we talked for like 45 minutes. He was such a nice guy. I know he didn't have such a great career with the Rangers, but he's a terrific guy.
Wow. So there you go.
Eddie is still my man.
I can attest to that on Froese. I went to high school with a guy, his name is Adam Rosenblum.
Okay.
And his cousin is Sam Rosen. Obviously.
What am I
little shortening on the name for broadcasting. And Adam, my friend Adam, was a huge Flyers fan. He's a Philly guy, and he was a huge Flyers fan. Whenever the Rangers would go to the old Spectrum, he would call Sam to see if he could hook us up with tickets.
Yeah.
And you know, this was like the mid-'80s or the late-'80s because we were driving by then. But so one night he got us tickets, and he told us after the game was over to come up to a certain area where he would come down from the press box, and he was going to take us downstairs. And he took us down into the tunnel in where the locker rooms were. And I told this story. This was also part of my Jell Samuelson story that I told about 4 weeks ago. But it was the same. Bob Froese was standing in the hallway and I introduced myself to him, and I called him Mr. Froze. And
I
he
love
said,
when
no.
you do that. Oh,
and,
man.
Well, and he said to me, no, you can call me Bob.
Excellent.
And that was... And that was really all I had to say to him. You know, I was just a 17-year-old kid, so, you know, I was just appreciative of the fact that he told me and shook my hand. That stuff goes a long way with me. You know, you don't
me
forget
too.
That.
Me
oh,
too.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Anytime they give you that time.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate enough to encounter a lot of athletes in a lot of different sports, and Mal, we've had this conversation as well. The hockey players are generally the best ones out there. They'll always, well, I don't want to say always, but they'll usually stop and say hello to you. They're very appreciative when you know who they are, and you know, if you're pulling, they appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're definitely salt of the earth people, that's for sure.
As long as you're polite to them, they'll treat you nice. That's the way to go. And you're right, hockey players are the best of all.
Yeah, I mean, I've encountered a lot of Giants players, and most of them are okay. You know, football players, the Giants they're my team, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of them. Most of them were okay, but a couple of them, you know, would just as soon you know kick you in the head as they walk by you instead of saying hello and being cordial. But
I met Steve Garvey. He was terrific.
Really,
Garvey?
Yeah.
Nice
and
guy,
you guys
huh?
remember Rick? You guys remember Rick Roden?
Yep, Rick Roden.
Of course,
he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
He was the worst of all time. He threw a batting donut at us.
Wow.
Did you save the batting donut?
Well, standing behind him with my first wife. Never make that mistake again. And we just kept calling his name so he would turn around just to acknowledge us.
Did you use your wife as a human shield to block?
I put her in front of me, yeah. And she just kept saying, "Rick, Rick, Rick, Rick," and finally he just turned around and he threw the donut at us and it hit the front of the dugout. And Dave Parker yelled at him.
Dave Parker, who had a substance abuse problem, is chastising Rick Roden on the field conduct.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a great story.
Okay, boys, I'm going to let you guys go, and I want to listen, and I want to tell you, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys, and I can't wait to call again.
All right, take care, Frosty.
We'll see you guys.
We appreciate you calling in, and feel better. I know you're not feeling well. We're glad you called in tonight. I appreciate you being in the chat room every week and supporting the show and the website. So we'll talk to you soon.
You got me, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye. Frosty with some great stories, Mal. Those
wow,
are good. Not many people could say they've been assaulted by, you know, an attempted assault from a baseball player.
I mean, they're supposed to be the most laid back out of them all. I mean, how crazy can you get? And I like how he used his wife as a human shield to deflect the donut. Well, you guys have ex-wives. What's going on here? I mean, you guys are great guys. These women must have been nutcases to let you guys get away.
Well, you got to be careful what you say about mine because the product of that marriage is my live studio audience this evening.
Oh, well, you know, nothing to say. I didn't mean that in a disparaging way.
I know. I'm just kidding. He's my producer this evening.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, actually, he's just sitting on another computer listening into the show, but. Actually, you know what? I'm going to. We got two calls on hold. We get to you guys in 1 second. I want to throw in one of my stories here. My first game was 1978. It was against the Kings, and I'll be honest with you. I don't remember much about it other than the Rangers lost 5-3. That's about all I remember. But one of the my earlier memories of going to games with my dad. Like you said, he used to get a lot of tickets back in the old days. He used to get seats right behind one of the goals. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head which goal it was, but it was the same. It was right across from where Carol Alt used to sit when she was married to Ron Greshner.
Right.
And it was
supermodel Carol Alt.
Supermodel Carol Alt of star of Private Parts, Howard Stern's Private Parts.
Right.
If I remember correctly, she used to sit two rows from the glass, and the seats my dad used to get were just on the opposite side of the aisle, like three rows from the glass. And I was there in the 1986 playoffs, Rangers Capitals, and the Rangers were down. I think it was the game they were down 5-4 late in the game. Bob Brook tied the game, and then he scored the goal in overtime, and they won the game, and they went on to win the series. But at some point in the game, she showed up, and she came down, and she sat sitting next to us. And I was, I guess, maybe 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she came, I mean, and, you know, I was 15. I had never seen anything so beautiful. And she was, all I remember is how tall she was and how long her legs were. And she signed my yearbook. She signed it right over Ron Gresser's picture, and she signed it, "With love, Carol." And I brought it back to my dad. And he looks at it and he goes, "It's very nice, but you didn't get her."
See, that's good. That's a good story.
It was funny. There was a follow-up to that story. I had swapped a few emails with Greshner not too long ago, maybe talk him into coming on the show one night. And I was telling my dad about it. And Ron Greshner has a charity golf tournament that he does every year. And I thought maybe he'd come on to promote the golf tournament, but we weren't able to work it out. But I was telling my dad about it. My dad said, "Well, you know," he says, "if you got the Carol Walt Playboy," he says, "maybe you could say to him, you know, way back when Carol signed your yearbook picture, do you think you could autograph this Playboy for me?" And I said, "Dad, I don't think he's going to do that now."
I don't think.
You know, I said, "He's moved on."
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think they were embroiled in a bitter financial settling of their divorce. So.
Yeah, bad divorce. Yeah, I guess things got pretty ugly between them. I'll tell you what, you don't get many opportunities. You know, athletes come and go, but you don't get many opportunities to stand next to a supermodel.
Yeah, well. I don't know if I should tell this story. It's in bad taste. It's not vulgar. And it wasn't said by me, so. I was in the city at the NHL store last summer, and Doogie was there with his wife, Kim Alexis. Now, we all know Kim Alexis back in the day, she was about as hot as they came. She was a hot number, if you will, and very pretty. And I posted the picture of her and me in a very friendly, platonic embrace, my arms around her, and she was good enough to take a picture, and everything went smooth and fine. And then one of my wisecracker fans, friends, puts underneath the caption, "Boy, she hit the wall harder than Pelly Lindbergh." Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that? Even that took me aback, and it takes quite a lot. However, I still find her very attractive. Ron Duguay, please do my show. But that's pretty funny, right? I mean, that's a little bit, she was nice and everything like that. But that's my little story.
Real quick, Froze asked in the chat room, "Who are you and I? Who our first favorite Rangers are?" And I just want to, again, it'll take me back to the same story that I get to keep reusing. My first favorite player on the Rangers was John Davidson. He was when I went to the first game, he was the goalie, and I just, you know, I know he wasn't a great player, but, you know, my first memory, first game, he was the goaltender, and then I really started to get hooked on the Rangers during that 79 finals, and, of course, that's when he was so great. And on the same time, the whole Sam Rosen thing was going on where, you know, he took us downstairs and met the players. When we first met him up by the press box, JD came walking down the steps, and, you know, there I was, you know, there's my first favorite coming down the steps, bigger than life, you know. It was JD with the mustache and, you know, the whole bit. And Sam Rosen just looks at the two of us and says, boys, say hello to John Davidson. And my friend, the Flyer fan, could care less and go, hey, how you doing? And I just stood there with my head, ha, 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 hi. I said to him, you were my first favorite Ranger. And I said, I remember the Lone Ranger mask. I remember the night it broke. I said, you know, and he just looked at me and he said, man, that was a bitch. I loved it. That's why when you had that video with JD on your website, Mouth, with JD and the Lone Ranger mask, man, that just totally took me back. That was a nice memory right there to see that again.
Yeah.
He only played 12 games
with that mask.
It didn't last long. I think it was an Islander that broke the mask, if I remember correctly. Maybe Bossy or Trottier. I may be wrong about that. If Trottier broke it, he probably picked it up off the ice and sold it on eBay or something. But I don't want to spend the night picking up Jay because it's too easy. After JD, my second favorite Ranger was Anders Hedberg or Hedbear. My father used to say it was pronounced, but I think that was because my father was German and that was the German pronunciation. But I don't know. But anyway, who was your first favorite Ranger?
Well, you know, I when you asked a question, I was going to say JD, but it really wasn't. When I first got the main reason I'm a Ranger fan is because my dad got cable, and cable out on Long Island had the MSG feeds, and now that's how I got there. The Ranger games were just on, and I just started watching. So I think first, Billy Fairburn, believe it or not, before he got traded to Minnesota for Bill Goldsworthy, then I liked Greg Polis for some reason. I think because I was under the impression he was Polish, not that I'm Polish, but he was Polish and he was physical. He was a stocky, fire plug type of guy, and I liked him. And then I started gravitating toward Don Murdoch and then Davidson, because I loved Davidson because he was the focal point. He had the mask. I love goalie masks. I was always obsessed with the goaltenders and their masks. As a matter of fact, as a young kid, this is before they had, those stats galore like they have now. I would keep track of every goalie's goals against manually, like on this big spreadsheet I'd have on my wall in my room. I'd go, oh, Paul Harrison gave up a goal tonight for Toronto. And I'd put a little one there, and then I'd be like, oh. So I got to know, Frozy's in chat room saying that Bill Goldsworthy died of AIDS, and that's true. He did die of AIDS. So anyway, I don't know why he brought up that morbid thing, but Bill did die there. And also, was not really a great trade for the Rangers. They gave up Billy Fairburn and Nick Beverly to get Goldsworthy, and he never panned out in New York, and I don't know what. But that's, you know, that. So, and then after that, you know, there was just a multitude of guys that I liked. And then, you know, but I have to say, first those two guys, and then JD, and then Greschner, and I loved Hedberg. I was so excited when Hedberg and Nielsen came to the team. This was like, and it was a big hoopla. Yeah, like the Rangers have bought these guys from the WHA. They're throwing their money around. Sonny Werblin's bringing these guys in.
I was just going to say, Sonny Werblin, yeah.
Yeah, and they're buying the cup. This is where it really starts, the whole thing of the Rangers trying to buy a cup. This is where it happened. And it didn't turn out that way because the WHA was at that point not as on par with the NHL, especially the goaltending. So, but that's who I'd have to say were my first couple guys.
Nice. You know, that would be another fun conversation, although I don't know how many people besides a select few of us would be interested, but some of those old goalie masks, you know, that would be something fun to kill a little time with one night on a show too. Because back in the day when they wore full masks, there were some really good ones out there, and I mean there still are now. But you know, back then it was something new. You know what I mean? The masks nowadays are creative and the artwork is neat, but back then it was something totally different. We'd never seen, you know, it had always been just a plain white mask, and to see guys, you know, designing different masks, and you know, it was neat. You know, like who was it? Jerry Cheevers had the mask with the stitches. Jerry Cheevers, wasn't it?
Yep, Jerry Tabers. I mean, it was great ones. Gary Simmons of the Kings and the Seals. He had a snake on his mask. And then, of course, Gilles Gratton with the lion mask. I saw that live. I was a kid. I couldn't, where we were sitting, I couldn't make out what it was. And I watched it on the Sports Extra with Bill Mazin later that night. And I saw the lion mask. I went, oh, my God, that was a lion on that mask. And he actually was one of the first guys to wear the birdcage mask, as we know it, the one with, you know, with the cage. And we were like, wow, this looks weird. This is from Europe or something, crazy Europe birdcage. How can you see through all those little things? And as a matter of fact, the reason Gratton wore that lion mask is because he, you know, he was a total whack job. I mean, he really was. It's because his astrological sign was a Leo. And Leo the lion, and there you go. This guy had to have the mask. But you're right, though. The mask were, I don't know, as a kid it was just great, you know. It was almost like, a, you know, not Halloween, but it was kind of futuristic the way the masks looked, you know. And Liute had that big, long, you know, front piece coming down. And actually, my most hated goalie, Billy Smith, he actually had one of the best ones. And he got rid of it, of course, and he went to the birdcage later on. But he had a good one, and just a lot of guys had great masks.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, we want to get a couple of phone calls through here. We got some guys that have been holding on for a long time. But I think we have somebody on the line who's worried, who's probably calling in because he's worried he's getting replaced. Joe Fortunato on the line, Blue Shirt Fan Radio. How are you, Joe?
I'm pretty good. I got to tell you, this show is lacking without me on it.
Okay, that. What's the score of the Yankee game?
3-0.
Who's winning?
Yankees.
And I can't tell you how excited I am about that. How long have you been listening to the show, Joe? I'll tell you, this is pretty good. And Mouth is fitting right in. He's fitting right in. Anytime you know, you're out, Mouth will gladly sit in with us.
You know. I don't see this happening again, and Mouth, I will shank you for my position back if need be.
He's going to shiv me later on. No. Listen, Joe, you're irreplaceable. I'm just filling in as a personal favor to Jim.
SOS.
SOS. Are you lost to right, see, Joe?
Hey, Joe, in your honor, Mouth showed up to the show tonight with two beautiful twins.
Did he? Did he know they were sisters, or did he just guess?
I'm still trying to find out if they're sisters. Are you sisters? They say paternal. Paternal twins.
Paternal.
All right, well, I guess I'll let you go unless you want to talk about anything for a minute and a half.
We're just in the middle. Everybody's playing in with great Ranger story, but I got to be honest with you, I'm having a real hard time hearing this background.
All right, well, that's fine. I just wanted to stop and say hi, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
That guy never calls my show.
He said I'm the representative of Blue Shirt Banter on your show. That's part of my I gotta get on. I'm on every radio show in the, you and me both really run like
really?
Every hockey internet show. We're right there.
But see, I don't want quality. I want quantity. See, you guys are worried about quality on this show. On my show, it's just about quantity. I want to have 70 guests who talk about nothing. Oh, wait. That's Paulie D's show. All right, anyway.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, Paulie D. I love you. I love you, man. I'm only kidding. I just had a moment of weakness there.
I see Paulie's entered the chat room, so he might be joining us soon. So let's get a couple of calls on real quick here.
Okay.
732-713, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and special guest The Mouth. Who's this?
Hey, Jim, now, this is Joe from Jersey. My screen name's Stroke Race.
Call me Joe.
Joe's my name. Guys. Very good, guys. How are you? First Ranger game, 1977, in a very interesting venue against the Philadelphia Flyers, Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. So So that was pretty cool. Exhibition game. Yeah, it was really, it was a preseason exhibition game. Boardwalk Hall, right on the boardwalk in D.C. First Ranger
really?
Game. Real cool.
How many did that seat?
I think it was like $4 a seat. It was something. My grandfather took me to that game. That was crazy. I mean, it was not very expensive. And we had real, real good seats. It was small. I think it held like, what was the attendance? I still have the ticket somewhere. I think the attendance that night was like 4,800. Something really crazy. It was cool.
The Boardwalk Hall, is that where the Atlantic City, the Bullies, the team from a couple of years ago that was in the...
Right. That's like usually where they broadcast, like, any boxing from AC is basically from Boardwalk Hall.
Huh.
So just imagine, it's really not that big. I mean, just replace the boxing ring with the ice. It was crazy. Like, you know, it was real, real intimate, real loud, you know. It was mic'd up real, real loud. I guess they really didn't know how to mic up a hockey game. But it was cool. It was really cool.
Did you remember any specifics from the game, or just basically the the whole experience?
Well, I mean, that was my first hockey game. I was six, so I just remember how fast, how loud, and how violent it was. I mean, it was a preseason game. I think it was actually an exhibition. It might not even have been a preseason game, but it was Rangers Flyers, so it was still kind of nasty. But I don't know. I mean, from that day on, hockey's been my favorite sport. So I guess it did, you know. I actually, this will lead into my next story. I actually played semi-pro football upstate New York in Newburgh for the Newburgh Raiders. So in 1994, May 27th was the day the Rangers beat the Devils. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I was dating a girl at the time. That was her birthday. So we were late to her birthday party. Me and her were late because we were both watching the game. June 14th of that year, which is the day they won the cup, is my birthday.
Whoa.
So it was unbelievable. So on her birthday, they won the Devil Series. On my birthday, they won the cup. So it was like 1994. It's so cliche. Like, I wish we could win another cup just so I don't have to say, 94 was the best. Because they're like, oh, of course. I mean, that's the only one. But it isn't even that. It's just the way that they won the cup, you know, like the way that it fell, and you know, one on my birthday. I'm like, what the hell? That's what I would ask for all day long. What do you want for your birthday? Like, give me the Rangers, win the cup, game seven, you know, wrap it up.
Now, Joe, let me
now,
ask
wait,
you.
I got to, Joe.
I
oh,
have to ask this.
Go ahead.
Now, did you wind up marrying this young lady?
All right, this is crazy. I told you I played semi-pro.
I believe that. You must get back together with this woman in order to get us another cup.
Listen, what happened. This is the best.
Team,
I was playing semi-pro football. I told you I played for the Newburgh Raiders. I also was a bouncer at a go-go bar in New Jersey, you know?
Look at this guy.
Go-go
boys playing football.
It was a long time ago, dude. It was a long time ago.
It
was a great go-go bar.
Go.
Could I say the name on air, or will we get in trouble? Could I say the name? It's pretty popular.
Go ahead.
It's Lookers.
Name of what?
It's in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Like, you know who used to go there all the time? Danico used to be in the bar all the time, dude.
What's the
and
name
I would
of
just,
the place?
Lookers. It's in Elizabeth.
I'm
Lookers.
Looking up now.
Yeah. But listen, it's cool. Danico used to go to the bar all the time. Like, it. You know, and he would just come and bullshit with me. I would just sit the stool and, you know, just check IDs or whatever. And, I guess Danico, you know, he knew that I was into hockey, knew I was into the Rangers. So he would come in, and he would basically bullshit with me all night long. Danico was a cool dude. I mean, he would make a lot of bathroom trips when had me a little suspect. But he would talk all night and drink all night and never be drunk. But whatever. But he was still a cool dude. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is what I got on Lookers. It gets a 7.67. It says, good music, girls range from average to hot, but there's a lot of dollar hunters. The same girl must have came over to me three times during the night.
That's
so,
updated, though. I mean, but if you go back to 94, it was a little... it was a good stop.
Women
really
were better
was.
Looking in 1994. Everything looked better in 1994.
Everything
looked
better in 94. And you know what? My vision was better in 94.
My weight was a lot lower in 1994, too.
My weight was a lot higher in 94, but for different reasons.
Because You were muscle-bound, strapping young fella.
Yes,
playing
sir.
Semi-pro football, bouncing at a bar where there were scantily clad women and probably dating half of them.
Beautiful. Beautiful world. Listen,
what a world.
Favorite Ranger, J.D. got to be secondary. It's a very obscure one. Pittsburgh Penguins coach Eddie Johnstone was one of my favorite Rangers.
Eddie.
No, Eddie Johnstone or Eddie Johnstone, because a lot of people get that confused.
The who? Johnstone.
The small guy.
Yeah, more like a grinder. He was like the first grinder. He was like the first grinder I ever noticed. Like, you know, like he wasn't like, you know, he was just a grinder. He was dirty in the corners. Yeah. Like, at that time, he didn't really have that. Everybody was pretty. You know what I mean? There was a lot of figure skating going on back then. But he was like the first, like, Avery or Tikkanen type that I ever actually, like noticed. You know, so I guess he had that type of impact.
And he also fought, too, which he was a small guy. And he fought tough.
Yeah, just tough. Tough right in your face. Yeah.
He tried to get a Philly test several times.
We could use him right now, I think.
I think so.
You know who? You guys had that show a while ago, Obscure Rangers. You know who I think would be a great Ranger right now, and he was a flash in the pan with the Rangers, was Russ Courtnell. You guys remember we had Russ Courtnell for like five minutes, dude? I saw him play. I don't know why. He was on the team for like 5 weeks, I think. But for some reason, I had tickets to two home games that he played. And I was like, this is ridiculous. If they let this guy walk, they're crazy. He was the fastest, hardest hustling Ranger at that time out of anybody. And
he's one of the fastest guys I've seen play ever.
Dude, he would be beautiful right now. If we had like a Russ Courtnell in his prime right now, Avery could be that if he just, you know, if he played hockey a little bit more. Avery could be that.
Wow.
Yeah. But
Russ
Courtnell, flash in the pan, dude. I used to love to watch him play. He was real fast.
And his brother Jeff was Rangers almost had him, too.
Two different physiques, though. They were built totally different, the brothers.
Right.
Jeff was like long, lanky, and Russ was real stocky, real, real powerful, fast skater.
Yeah.
Hard on the puck. He'd be a great Ranger in Tortorella system.
I think Russ went to Dallas after that, if I'm not sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think he did. Mouth, isn't it funny how you and I and Joe we're all about the same age, and we all mentioned JD as one of our favorite players. I mean, it's just odd because this is not a guy. I mean, he's not a guy who was
we're not
talking about a Hall of Fame goaltender. You know, we're not talking about a Mike Richter or Lundqvist. It's just he was a marginal average goaltender who got hot for 6 weeks and made a name for himself. And 2 years later, he was out of hockey because his back couldn't take it anymore. It's just funny that we all mentioned him as our favorite player.
I think JD would be the commissioner. I think it should be that high. I think JD has so much respect and so much passion for hockey. I'd like to see him just take that job right from Beth. Like, who would say no to that? Who would be a better ambassador and better commissioner to hockey? Politics aside, than JD, because he's just for the good of hockey, and he is another reason why I like hockey. I mean, JD. Color commentating, he was talking to you. He wasn't just telling you about the game. He was talking to you. Like, you could talk to JD, through the screen, as trippy as that may sound. But, the way JD explained the game, he made it easy to watch,
he made
me a smart hockey fan.
I talked to Tom Laidlaw last week, and I tried to press Tom Laidlaw to tell me something bad about JD, and he said he couldn't. Because basically, JD is what he is, off, on and off the ice, in the booth, out of the booth. He's a nice guy. I agree with you that he'd be a great commissioner. But, let's face it, a trained circus monkey right now could be doing a better job than Benton.
But
you're right that his demeanor is so nice and so cordial, and he's speaking to you, the fan. And I just wanted to add one little thing about the JD, why he may be one of our favorites. And this goes, I think, with the announcing of one Jim Gordon. Because when Gordon would make those calls, and it would be like, save! By the name of the save! And he would go nuts. And we would get so excited. I couldn't wait to go out on the street, Me and my brother, we would play hockey. I'd be the goalie, and then I would announce, and I'd be, like, calling the game, and I always make believe I was JD, my first street hockey match I made in JD. You know, it was, great job by me, but that's what I wanted. I wanted to beat Davidson. I think it had a lot to do with the announcing as well.
Still to this day, the most devastating loss the Rangers ever suffered was losing JD, because that first year with Joe was brutal. Brutal, brutal.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Joe Micheletti?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I listen to him, and I'm not even sure he likes the Rangers.
I got to look and see if it's live or if this is a because sometimes I don't think Joe watches the game that's on the ice in front of him. He may be looking at a monitor of another game. I don't know. It took him half his first year to stop calling the Rangers the Islanders. If you guys remember, because he came from the Islanders.
He called
the Rangers the Islanders for the first half of the season, like maybe the first 40 games. They should have fined him every time he called the Rangers the Islanders. He would have learned real quick then.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Joe, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to get to some other calls and bring in Paulie in a minute. But thanks for calling in, and make sure you check back with us next week.
All right. Absolutely.
Good,
all right.
Take it easy.
Guys.
Back to
hear
from you, Joe.
All right, let's take one more call before we bring in our other guest co-host for this evening. 6316, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim in the Mouth. Who's this?
Anthony from Smithtown, New York.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on? Welcome to the show. Your first time caller?
Yeah, it's actually the first time calling. I've actually been following you guys like the whole summer, but I don't know, just never had the courage to get on the show. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do it tonight. So I.
All right.
Don't worry about courage. We're just like you. Ranger fans.
Sitting around
we're
a
just
bar.
Ranger fans.
Drinking.
Exactly.
It's just like that. It's laid back. So go ahead.
Yeah. Don't ever worry about it. Just what's on your mind tonight, anyway.
Not too much, actually. But I do want to start with the topics you guys want to discuss, like favorite Rangers. I'm 21 years old, so I'll say my first favorite Ranger was probably Alexei Kovalev, probably back in, like, 97, as far as I can even remember. And then
AK-27. I remember him. The Russian Gretzky, the New York Post called him. The Rangers get the Russian Gretzky. I'll never forget it. I was so excited. And, hey, listen, Alex, he gets a rough deal from Ranger fans, but, you know, he was a key component of that 94 playoff, guys. Wouldn't you agree with me?
I would agree with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Keenan, for better or worse, he knew how to get, I think at least to a point, he knew how to tap into Kovalev's potential. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Kovalev is just one of those guys that just, you know, I just saw the Rangers heading down the same path with Zhirinov. Just Kovalev, there were just times that he did things that you'd never seen anybody do with a puck. And then he just did things that you'd never seen anybody do. You know, I mean, he was just so... Sometimes he was just amazing, and then other times you'd just be screaming at the TV, what are you doing, what are you thinking? But anyway, he was – I remember the Rangers, he was part of he was going to be part of the package to go to Quebec for Lindros. And, you know, a lot of fans were divided on trading Kovalev. You know, you can't trade this guy. He's going to be the – Like Mount said, he's going to be the Russian Gretzky, but he was part of that package that would have went to Quebec for Eric Lindros, along with Van Beesbrook and a couple of draft picks and a few other things. But anyway, so when did you go to your first Ranger game?
When did I go to my first Ranger game? I honestly don't even remember my first Ranger game. It was probably 3 years ago. I vaguely remember. But I do have a couple of stories from this past season that just went by.
Go ahead.
The first one I went to in Tampa Bay, actually, when Stamkos fought Zhirinov, that game that went to the shootout. It was around Thanksgiving last year.
I don't remember that game, actually. I may have been asleep. What was the score? What was the score of that one?
It was 2-1, I believe. It ended in a shootout.
Ah, there you go. Any low-scoring games in the first half of the season, I was probably asleep. I'm an older gentleman. So who did they play that night?
Tampa Bay. I was actually in Tampa Bay visiting my brother-in-law and my sister.
Oh, wow. Now, was Tortorella the coach last year? No, he wasn't the coach. Yeah, he was the coach last year, no?
Not at that point. Not Tortorella, no. Not at that point in time.
All right.
It was still Rennie.
All right. Tom Rennie. But I'm saying, who was coaching Tampa that night? Do you remember?
It was the new guy. It wasn't Barry Melrose.
It wasn't Melrose
at that point.
Yeah. Barry Melrose got fired early.
Like a weekend.
Did you notice Vinny Prospel out there? Vinny Prospel, newly acquired New York Ranger?
I'm actually very happy about that.
You're
I'm
happy
about
it? Who can't be happy about that?
It's a steal.
I think you got to really have rocks in your head if you don't like that guy at $1.1 million, right? I mean, seriously, for 1 year, what's he going to do? He's not going to do anything bad. So that was your first game, and... Well, it was your first game, but my first playoff game was an Islander game, believe it or not. It was a Islander Buffalo game, and I think it was 76. And you would think I would have gotten all crazy about the Islanders back then, but that was didn't take. I was already Rangerized, as they say. But how about your favorite Ranger other than Kovalev? Got anybody else?
Favorite Ranger other than Kovalev? Well, I did like Yager when he came up, Gretzky when he came up. I'll say as of right now, I like Higgins. Reason why I like Higgins, because he's a hometown. I don't know if you guys caught it. I'm from Smithtown.
You're from Smithtown, yeah. So you're looking forward to seeing the hometown guy.
Yeah, well, actually, I live around the block from him. I remember when his parents hung a banner outside when he got drafted to the Canadians, saying good luck, Chris, and blah, 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 blah. So I see his parents every now and again. Unfortunately, I don't know them, but hopefully when I get my Higgins jersey, maybe one day they'll pass by and say hello.
There you go.
And I'm not sure if you check out our site all the time, but tomorrow morning I have a nice little story on Chris Higgins that the a nice little press release that the Rangers sent me today regarding Chris Higgins that you might want to check out. I wanted to mention this at some point in the show. I really like the way that since he's gotten traded to the Rangers, he's immersing himself in the community, and I love it. I think there aren't a lot of – it doesn't seem to me that, with the exception of – Avery, I guess, definitely Avery and Lundqvist to a certain extent, but you don't see a lot of Rangers having a big presence around the city, and it looks to me like Chris Higgins is really going to be one of those guys that he's going to be he just looks like he's going to be a city guy, and I like that. I like seeing the Rangers taking being an active part, because let's face it, they're one of only two teams in pro sports that play in Manhattan, so it's good to see him. He did the thing at the comedy club a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We had Joe at I like seeing him being involved, and he's a New York guy, and I think he's going to be around for a while. I really do. I hope they'll sign him for years to come. But I thank you for calling in. We're going to take a couple other calls, and make sure you call us again. All right?
Oh, I will. You'll hear from me again.
I'm down at that.
All right.
I'm down on the Sizzler in Smithtown Main Street. I'm there every Sunday eating at the salad bar.
Right by the train station, right?
Right by the train station. If you ever want to get to the mouth,
there you go. Head over to the Sizzler on Sunday and say hello. Mouth makes an appearance every Sunday. Signing autographs, pictures, whatever you need.
Really? All
right, take care, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, this Sunday.
All right, no problem. I'll be there.
All right.
Mouth doing a little free advertising for the Sizzler in Smithtown, making appearances. We're not just about Ranger hockey here. It's a little bit everything. We believe in supporting your local salad bar. And now for the new fan, that guy's going to be sitting at your table on Sunday sharing a chuck steak with you. Now, Can I get you some more? Can I get you some more blue cheese dressing? What can I do for you, buddy? All right.
It'll be funny. He's quite the talker, so we'll be chatting up.
Joe
was great.
Our callers are just—I just love them. It's so, this is so much fun. And speaking of callers, let's bring out our other co-host. You know, when Joe said that he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight, that he was going to the Yankee game, I said, "Well, I said, who are my two other favorite people who take part in our show?" And you know, without a doubt, the mouth and our next caller here came to mind, and I asked them both to be a part of the show tonight and help me out, and without blinking an eye, they both said yes, and like I said, Mouth had to drive back from Toronto at breakneck speeds, and Paulie had to cancel his night at the strip club just to be on our show. So without further ado, here he is from the pride of the Gulf Coast of Florida, Paulie D. Paulie, good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I'm wiping the tears from my eyes as I listen to the banter. And just, Mouth, you're just too much for me, bro. If you ever want to do stand-up, I would happily be your manager. I like the whole Sizzler thing. It was really, I mean, that was definitely on point there. You're just too much for me. It's a pleasure to be on the Blue Shirt Banter. I'm still looking at ways to get Mouth, and I'm still looking at ways. But, you know, maybe I'll meet you at the Sizzler, and I'll put a
Paulie,
little stuff.
Paulie, let me ask salad. You. Let me ask you something, Paulie. Do you like Sizzler? You ever go to Sizzler?
No,
do they have Sizzlers over there in Tampa?
My favorite was the Good Steer. Where are you from, the Good Steer? That's what we need around here.
All right. I call the Good Steer the Bad Turn because it's a little play on words. The Good Steer, I got a funny story about the Good Steer, this is a true story. Me and my crew, we're hanging out there. We see a guy by himself. He's eating all alone, first of all. You know, you're with people watchers. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he goes, "Achoo!"
Oh,
like that. He sneezed like that. He goes, "Achoo!" Well, my friend Brian goes, like that, like he's going to laugh, and he's trying to hold his laugh back. And then I let go this humongous gas cloud that was so loud. The waitress comes over, we're all laughing, doubled over, and as we're laughing, I'm releasing gas even louder. And she comes over, "Is there everything all right here?" She thought I was joking, but we were all choking from laughter because this guy at the Good Steer said, "Achoo!" So that's my story about the Good Steer. But that's what happened. That's
I can't see, man. Why did you do this to me?
Paulie's laughing like I was laughing on your show last week.
Oh, God, man.
Oh, that was out of control.
All right. So, Paulie, I just wanted to say, I really didn't mean anything on my show about, you know, I was just razzing you because I think of you as my brother.
Bro, it's great. It's everything's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
I love you, Mouth. You're a good man.
I love you, too. All right.
Paulie, the reason why we were worried is because we were following you in the chat room, and the last thing we saw from you was, "You guys are killing my show," and then you were gone. I was trying to send you a message, and he was gone, and now I'm like sending I'm still on the phone with Mouth, and I'm still laughing my ass off, I got to be honest with you. And I'm sending him messages, and I'm saying, I think we really upset Paulie. I said, I think he's gone. Did we go too far?
I can tell you this. I'll never listen to the Spinning Plate song again. And I hear Mouth in the background. "This is the Paulie D show. This is the Paulie D show." I'm like, wow, man.
But you know what?
It's all right. It's fine. Everything's great. You know what? If we can't laugh at ourselves, who can laugh at?
Exactly.
Oh, hey, listen, wait till next week. You know what? That show is bad. I got another one coming.
What do you got going?
Oh man, we got I got the vice president for Milex Sports calling. I got a couple of really big Canadian representatives calling. Yeah, well, we're trying to get a little mention and see what we can do with trying to get ball hockey become an Olympic game. So we're on a venture, and we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna help these guys out as much as I can. But you know, ball hockey is definitely where it all started. So you know, these guys are really together, and it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm going to – but I moved it up to 90 minutes, and that's a story that I'll tell you guys on the side, the reason why that show was only an hour, because I've made a couple mistakes, and you all learn from them. So I'd rather have too much than not enough next time. Well, let's talk Rangers, guys. Let's talk Rangers.
Vice President – hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm impressed. The vice president of Milex. I mean, I remember being a kid – And saving up, I had to save up, you know, my allowance or wherever I got money from, because that was what I wanted to buy, was a Milex stick. And it didn't, right before they put the holes in the blade, it had that cream-colored blade on it. And I'll never forget, I begged my father, I wanted to go to Two Guys. You remember Two Guys, the department store?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay. I was begging my father to take me to Two Guys because I finally had the enough money to buy the hockey stick, and he wouldn't take me because he had to take my mother to take her somewhere. He had something to do, so my grandma wound up taking me down to Two Guys, and I had the stick was $3. That's how long ago this was. The stick was $3, and when they rang it up, I had my $3 in my pocket, and we got there, and you know, tax whatever. And it came out to $3.04 for my hockey stick, and I didn't have enough. My grandfather had to give me 14 cents to buy my first Milex hockey stick. That's just how I remember. It's a weird thing to remember, but that's what I remember.
I can't.
And then,
I wanted to say, I still play hockey. Like, you know, I'll goof around. My wife, first of all, I hate when people say I'm blessed, but really, I am blessed with like the wife from like heaven for me, because she's into everything I'm into as far as hockey. She understands everything, and so I'm like, she's never played hockey, so over the summer I said, let's go out to basketball court, we'll buy some hockey sticks, we'll go out there and we'll just pass it along. So I can't do any running, but you know, it's like we'll pass the ball around, right? I'm looking for these Milex Airflows. Those are the ones with the holes you were talking about. You can find them in the small size, but I can't find them for adults. And I have to go out of my way. I know Paulie knows where Rocky Point is. Yeah. Out there, they have them. I had to travel like 40 minutes to get these freaking Milex Airflows. Talk to that president or that vice president. Make sure in Long Island we got to have the adult-sized Airflows. I can't go spending $70 for some composite hockey stick.
Hey, Mal, is Plaza Sports still open or no?
Plaza is closed. They have a Modell's over there that took over where they used to be, run by the Ferraros, who played for the Rangers. Their father, I think,
both
played for the Rangers. Yep, both of them.
What was it, Chris, Peter,
Peter,
and who's the other brother?
Chris.
Chris and Peter, there you go. Yeah.
I think they're just on a personal back.
Yeah.
In the first round, it was like 18th and 19th pick or something like that. They grabbed the two of them, and I think the two of them combined might have played 20 games in the NHL or something like that.
Yeah, they were always at Hartford. They played for Hartford when we had the Binghamton Rangers.
I think it was Peter played for Pittsburgh too.
One of them made it, bro.
Yeah, made it like pretty. You know, you're pretty decently, but you know, I hated their dad. He was a pain in the ass. But anyway. That's here, no, there. Just, you know, going in there, and he was always promoting his son. Bah, bah, look at me. Come on. I want my Milex Airflow. But I had the pads. I had the whole thing. I even had the goalie stick. And I think, Paulie, you remember this. Do you remember when the first rink was built behind Plaza? It was not across the street there.
Yeah.
I played when I was like 13 at that rink.
Yeah.
Must have been 12 or 11, and I got great memories of that one. Yeah. And let me just go, and I'll let you guys continue. But when you're a kid, Like, you watch things on TV and you play street hockey. When you go on a rink for the first time, it's almost like you made the NHL.
Yeah.
You're on an organized rink with refs and equipment and the whole thing. It's so exciting, you know. It's still very exciting just me thinking about it back then.
Yeah. Well, again,
I used to live down Jersey Shore. I lived in Lakewood, and there was a park in Freehold called Turkey Swamp. I think it was Turkey Swamp Park that had it. They had a rink for, you know, for roller hockey or street hockey or hockey ball, whatever you wanted to call it. And we used to just go up there at night and get in the pickup games. And I mean, they had, you know, they had just chain link fenced way around. Those were the boards. And then, you know, there were benches and everything. And that was the first time, I mean, I was like 17, I guess, the first time I played there in just pickup games. But I'd spent, you know, years just playing in the street or playing in a schoolyard or in the parking lot of a church. And that got us in a lot of trouble. But so that was the first time I'd ever played on anything resembling it. That was really cool. And, you know, we're playing at night. We're under the lights. So, yeah, I mean, that was something really special. It's funny that you bring that up.
Yeah, you know, I remember we used to actually play so much hockey in the street. And my guest, Matt Gary, is a really nice guy. He actually grew up in Ridgemouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, we always talked about sun up to sundown, you know, how many times did we have to move the net for cars to pass by, but it didn't matter. You know, we were playing hockey, and we used to find places to go. It didn't matter. Tennis courts, you name it. We'd rip down the tennis. We'd rip down the tennis nets and just, you know, play. And we used to play against other, like, other townships and stuff. And then Plaza was, you know, my dad coached at Plaza for a long time. He coached 25 years and older.
Wow.
And really, yeah. Then when they had the older kids and, you know, that's really what brought me to this. When I went to this tournament, and I got to tell you guys, we're going to be shooting a ton of video and I'll have it up and stuff, but the talent level, man, is nothing like I remember when we were kids. You know, when we were kids, it's pretty much dump and chase, go around, shoot the puck, you know, make some moves here and there. But the talent level, and these guys coming in from Quebec, and he's got a Czech Republican team, and I'm sorry, Slovakia team. And, you know, a lot of these guys have won world championships. And not only that, but, you know, worlds. But the skill level, you'll scratch your head and be like, wow. You know, it's contact. Now, I know when we played, there was no contact. There's contact. These guys are allowed to hit each other. As long as it's, you know, legal, nothing chippy, nothing dirty, but they're allowed to make
contact. Wow.
Which really adds a new element to the game of ball hockey, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can't think of, you know, I don't know, when I played, you know, people just weren't accountable, so people would take shots, you know. So I heard this discussed on your show, and I guess what really plays is you got to have referees that are in charge. And, you know, when I was a kid, once we got older, the referees couldn't control us. We were bigger than the referees. It was like, don't break this up because we're going to punch you in the face. So, you know, it was like, but I guess a key component is the officiating.
Right. Well, you know, these guys are spending – this ain't cheap, man. They're spending some money, you know, especially the out-of-towners coming here. They look for a little vacation time, and they play a three-day tournament. You know, so why are you gonna punch somebody in the face? And again, I think a lot of it has to do with they've brought the physical element back into ball hockey, where for a very long period of time they had taken it out. And that leads to slashes, and, you know, if you want to talk about it in hockey, that's one of the biggest things in the NHL. They want to take fighting out. You know how many stick fouls you're going to see if they take fighting out? You know how many more aggressive fouls you will see if you take fighting out?
Yeah, well,
I think on this level, being that you're allowed to get a little more physical, as long as it's smart physical play, you know, it's allowed in the rules. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's a lot of fun for these guys, and I'm doing everything I can, and it really has grown tremendously. But let's talk Ranger hockey, man.
Well, let's talk about what's your favorite. Any stories you'd like to impart to the Blue Shirt Panda radio audience?
I want to tell you about the first hockey game I ever went to. Believe it or not, it was not a New York Ranger hockey game.
You're a traitor.
No. Listen to this story, Mouth. This is a true story, and I'll never forget it. My dad used to get free tickets. He used to work for a soda company that I won't mention. And he used to get free tickets to the raunchiest arena in all of New York, which would be the Nassau Coliseum.
Uh-oh.
And we used to go. No.
My free father tickets? What a surprise.
My father was I'm like a fifth-generation Ranger fan. It's really my father's the reason I am a Ranger fan, because I lost him very early. But we used to go there and always root for the other team. It didn't matter who they played for. He'd be like, let me take the boys to the games. And we would go there, and, they would be playing. It didn't even matter if they were playing, like, the Flyers or the Bruins. You know, even if they were a little bit of a rivalry with us, we still hated the Islanders. So we purposely went because they were outstanding seats, too. They were, like, three rows behind the penalty box. It was the greatest stuff. Well, I was only about
still
eight.
Those tickets for free.
They were still getting them for free, I was about 8 or 9 years old at the time, and I'll never forget it. My dad got up. I guess he was going to get I think he was getting us something to eat, a pretzel or something. And at the time, Paul Stewart was the referee, and I'll never forget it. I'm sitting there, and it's in between periods, and he's like, hey, he's yelling at me. And I'm like, is he talking to me? So I look at him, and he waves me over to the penalty box area. So I go over there, and he throws me a puck. I was a good kid. My father taught me manners. I said, thank you, and he gave me a wink, and he went on his way, and I went back to the seats, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do with this? It's got an Islander logo on it.
Maybe you should have sold it to one of the clowns that were, there for, who actually paid to see that.
Well, no, I'll tell you what I did, what my dad did. So my dad comes back. I said, hey, Dad, the referee called me over, and I didn't know who it was at the time. My dad told me, and I remembered it was Paul Stewart, but I give him the puck. I said, he gave me this. He says, what are we going to do with this thing? And then he said, you know what? I got some lacquer thinner at home. We'll get the logo off, and you can put it in your room on your bookcase. I was like, great. That was my first game ever. Yeah, I'll never forget it. Cause
so
I
what
got,
year are we talking about? What year? So you're 8 or 9, so what does this make this? Like?
Yeah, Ralph, you want me to give it up? Huh? It was probably 1978.
Oh, wow.
1979?
Yeah.
Wow. So you, and around our age as well.
Yeah, so the Islanders are basically, had they won a Stanley Cup, do you even remember, or it was just like?
No. They didn't win their first cup until 1980, right?
Right. So this was definitely before then, so they were the choke artists.
They had Clark Gillies and Nystrom and Bobby Bourne, I think, and a couple of them boys. Yeah, absolutely. And Billy Smith was in net because I always used to say, Billy Smith, you suck.
See, your father raised you right. He gave you the proper tools to get through life. The first words out of every first three words out of every baby's mouth should be Billy Smith.
Billy Smith.
I mean, I had to make it three words.
Yeah,
four words. Billy Smith, you suck. Why don't you shake hands? You're the worst sportsman in hockey history. They put you in the Hall of Fame, and I'll tell you what I did in 1990. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I spit on his plaque. I hocked a loogie. I have witnesses.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Hey,
my God.
Gets my ire up. Billy Smith gets my ire up.
Now,
I saved this one for you because I know you hate the Devils.
Paulie, hang on one second. I just want to let anybody from the New York Islanders organization that might be listening, Paulie's just giving you an important household tip before you move to Kansas City. Get a little lacquer thinner, and you take the name right off. Kansas City Tornadoes or the Kansas City Yellow Brick Roads or that'd be a good contest. We'll have a contest one night what the new name could be. The Kansas City Dorothies. There we go.
The Wangers.
But anyway, all right. The Fat Little Wangers.
Fat Little Wangers.
Great stuff. Yeah, yeah. Lack of thinner will take anything off, bro. Anything with paint, it'll take it right off. But or mineral spirits, for that matter.
What did this turn into here? What are we doing? It's the Learning Channel here?
All right, but I want Jim to hear this story.
He's like Bob Fia.
Bob Fia, what is this, our house?
I'm an Italian kid. So
welcome
to
Yankee Workshop with the mouth, Paulie D and Jim Schmiedeberg.
He's so out of control, man. Oh, we want fish sticks. One of my favorite expressions. You know, I was so glad when Don Maloney became an Islander. He really did a great job for tearing that franchise down from the inside.
Yeah, I applaud him. I put him in the Ranger Hall of Fame.
When they had Captain Ben on the front of their shirt, that was the greatest thing of all times, I think. We used to chant in the garden, "We want fish sticks." I'll never forget that either. That is some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Gorton's Fisherman.
Yeah.
I thought it was Stan Fisher on the front of those jerseys.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. That's a good one. And I always thought, like, their colors, you remember they had that trim on the bottom? Like, it was a wave? It looked like it looked like the Aqua Fresh bottle, the toothpaste. I want some Aqua Fresh. Nobody got that.
Right.
Yeah, I should have been hanging with you guys.
See, I would have got it. Paulie, I'm gonna take a call real quick, and then we'll get to your story. We got somebody here who's been holding for a few minutes. 631-612 code. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim, the Mouth, Paulie D. Who's this?
Holy cow! It's the ghost of Islander Stanley Cup past.
Who is this?
This is Elmo.
Is this me?
No, this is Elmo.
Tickle me, Elmo.
Elmo. Tickle me, Elmo. Is this little Elmo in the family?
Hey, Jim.
All right, I don't know who that was, but I hung up on him. Enough. You ain't got enough. Again, I have a feeling that was my buddy Pete from a couple weeks ago. Anyway, all right, Paulie, what's your anti-devil story here for these?
All right, well, I can tell you this. And here's another story I got to tell you. 1994 is the year I got married. I got married in 94. So I have a cousin who's do a little business on Wall Street, we'll say. And great guy.
What the hell?
This is the most incongruent, non-linear story I've ever heard. When you said marriage and cousin, immediately I wanted to reach for some kind of hillbilly jokes.
Let me finish you. I had two more things to say and you would have understood.
Right.
I got married in 1994.
Selling umbrellas on the street. What did you did a little business on Wall Street.
What were you doing?
He was a big shot on Wall Street.
Oh,
okay.
But anyway, he couldn't make my wedding. So as a wedding gift, he took me to the Rangers Devils, and I want to shoot myself because I got the tickets. I believe it was game 2 at the Garden.
Ooh.
I think we won 5-0 that game. I think that's the
that
one,
was,
game 2.
That was the game about 10 seconds into the game. Messier flattened Stevens and set the tone, and that was it. The Rangers were off and running. I think 5-0 was 4-0, maybe something like that.
Well, listen, I was young, drinking a couple of beers, getting ready to get married, and we're sitting there, and he got us seats for that game that were just unbelievable. And I'm sorry that I forgot where they were. All I remember is the thing that kind of sucked is we were right behind the Devil's bench, probably 3 rows back, and I'll never forget this. Now, he gets these seats, you know, they're big to-do seats, and he's like, you know, just be subtle, be easy, don't go nuts. Well, he knows then I'm one of those guys that got season tickets, but I'm all the way up on the roof with the Chief and Dancing Larry and all those knuckleheads. I'm all the way up there, and we scream at the top of our lungs. So anyway, Kapotsov gets checked into right by the Devil's Bench, and Lemieux is sitting there, and he's got his stick blade, and Kapotsov is being held against the bench there from whoever it was, and Lemieux sitting on the bench giving him the business with the stick blade in his face, not hitting it back and forth, back and forth. And, I mean, you can just see Potsy's face getting torn up by this stick blade. I stand up because I see it, and I'm like, I can't even say what I said. I'm like, you effing mother effing Lemieux, I'm going to come and kick your effing ass. I was going nuts. My cousin Michael looks at me. He says,
Holy
D,
calling out
Club Lemieux. Killing me. You there?
Oh, we're here.
So he says, would you please sit down? You're killing me. So he looks at me. He says, I'm sorry, but I can't never get you tickets again. I said, don't worry about it. I'm up with Dancing Larry anyway. I'm not worried about it.
Well, I got a story about Dancing Larry.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, seriously. And I know Jolting Joe Fortunato is not a fan of Dancing Larry. As a matter of fact, Joe's season tickets are one level below Dancing Larry, and there's all kinds of expletives thrown at Dancing Larry throughout the hockey game. Joe's told me about that. But my friend had season tickets when Dancing Larry before he was Dancing Larry. And he had this weird look. Like he had this Stephen Wright hair. He looked like Stephen Wright, the comedian. He was the stupidest man on the earth. I'm pretty sure he was the stupidest. He would always talk about these preposterous trades. And then one of the funniest things I ever seen, John Van Beesbrook was in net. Jan Eriksson was shadowing Mario Lemieux. I always loved that, because then Lemieux would get 5 goals. I was like, why is Jan Eriksson shadowing him? Can we just put on anybody? So anyway, Lemieux gets 4 goals in the game. The Ranger fans are so disgusted. This is really big. I remember them chanting 1940 to their own team. It was so disgusting. And Dancing Larry, again, before he was Dancing Larry, decides to throw his beer all over the green section. He wastes a good beer, and then some smart guy that was cracked me up got his umbrella out and put it up. Dancing Larry threw more beer down, but this guy with his umbrella sitting in the green section, probably where Joe Fortunato has his season tickets now, has got his umbrella up. Wow. And I thought that was funny, perhaps. Maybe not as fun to you guys, but Dancing Larry, Major League Doucher. That's my opinion.
It was never crazy about him. And I was probably a section a little bit lower than Larry, but we, you know, I don't know, man. Back in the day, they even put the spotlight on him, and everybody was waiting for him to dance. So.
Come on. There's people who even like me. I mean, there's crazies all over the place, like yourself.
What about the Chief? Is he still around?
Dead. The man is deceased. He is no longer with us. The Chief, you know, he's a guy, I'm just going to go quick on this. He was a guy who was revered as a Ranger fanatic, but then towards the end, the fans turned on him. And just, you know, he was a little bit wacky. I mean, he used to go around the garden recording the game, announcing the game. And
yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah, he was a little wacky. But, you know, he was our own. You know, I mean, you know, you got to embrace your own. And they started with the U-U-U-F-U chant towards the end, and they kind of humiliated him. And he thought they were cheering for him, but they were totally, you know, totally degrading him, which is basically the story of my career. But, you know, the Chief was one of the greats. I mean, you know, you got to admire, that's a legendary guy. So, anyway, that's my story.
I seem to remember that Ratso Sloman had a chapter about the Chief in his book, didn't he? On Thin Ice, was it in that book?
I'm pretty sure that was
devoted. Because I seem to remember reading about the Chief that, you know, he was a Ranger season for many years, but at least if I remember correctly from the way it was written up in the book, it sounded like the guy lived in poverty almost to afford the, you know, his whole life was based on his Ranger season tickets. I mean, he lived in a, I seem to remember he lived in a very small apartment, maybe with his mother or something. I don't know. I may be getting the story wrong, but that's how I remember it anyway, is that the guy lived very, very fearlessly and you know, didn't have much of anything, and his whole life was his Ranger season tickets. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. Dan Tenari I've met a few times, a couple of times in passing, but we got another call on the line, and this is a Skype call, so we'll see what this is all
about.
You're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
Hello?
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 111 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
This is...
All right. Looks like Dave and Buster's got out early tonight. I mean, what's going on with these guys?
Was the Islander store closed at the Massapequa Mall tonight or something? Anyway, all right. So, I had another story I wanted to share with you guys. This was in 1995 when the Rangers were in the first round of the playoffs against Quebec. You guys remember correctly, they lost Game One. On a late goal, I think by Sakic, if I'm not mistaken, and they lost Game One, and then Game Two in Quebec. I was still living in Jersey at the time, and my brother and I made the trip up for Game Two. We got tickets to go to the game, and we drove up, and we were parking the car like Colisée, and we get out of the car. We were driving my old Mitsubishi Galant that had a big decal on the side of the car with the Stanley Cup with the Ranger logo in it. You know, of course, at the time they were the champions. And we get out of the car, and there's these two guys. One of them's got a big, you know, a TV camera on his shoulder. And I get out of the car, and I just got right up in the face of the car, and I screamed into the camera as loud as I could, "Game One was a gift." Right? And then I just walked away. And my brother's looking at me. He says, "What the hell are you doing?" I said, "Ah, who cares?" I said, "They're probably some hoser TV channel up at a, you know,
right,
backwoods, Quebec City cable access or something like that." I said, "Ah, just having a little fun." We go in the game, and at one point my brother goes running down for beers like the good little brother that he is. And he comes back. He says, "You're never going to believe this." He says, "You know those two guys we ran into out in the parking lot?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, they're from MSG. He says, "I just ran into them in the hall, and one of them says, 'Hey, we put your buddy on the pregame show.'" And I said, he says, "You got to be kidding me." He says, "No, we're from MSG. You guys," he said, "the first thing everybody saw before the show even started, before the credits or anything or the music played, is your brother's face screaming, 'Game One was a gift.'"
Nice.
And for about a year after that, I had people I knew call, "Did I just see you? Were you on a Ranger game?" You know, I had people come up to me once at a place I was working. I was working in the mall at the time. "Haven't I seen you someplace before?" And I swear to God, that's my claim. That was my 15 minutes right there. That's it. That's
it. Remember when JD had the mailbag? It was called JD's mailbag.
I called it,
yeah,
JD's,
sure,
feedbag.
All right. You know how many of my questions? He must have read five of my questions.
How many games have
missed? And one night
you,
I'll never.
I'm just wondering. You probably submitted like 5,000, like a mental patient, just to get your name on.
But you know what? I swear to God, this is a true story. It was a New Year's Eve night. Me and a couple of my buddies, all Ranger fans, we always used to get together at somebody's house and watch the game or whatever. And You know, I had a running bet with a friend of mine who was an Islander fan, and that's a whole different story, and I don't think you got enough show, but we got into a fist fight at a game, but that's a whole other show. My best friend, I grew up with him. Me and him are fighting in the friggin' stands because it was a hockey fight. It was a Ranger-Islander preseason game, but that ain't the story. The bet was he didn't believe me, and again, I'm an X and O kind of guy. He didn't believe me that the away team has to put their stick down on the ice first at any faceoff dot. He did not believe that that was actually a rule on the ice. And I don't know, you know, if you're a hockey fan, you should know that. The away team has to put their stick down on the ice first before the puck gets dropped. So I wrote it down, sent it to J.D., We're on our way to go to a party, and all of a sudden, it's JD's mailbag, and we're all standing there, and he's like, and this question comes from Paul from Long Island. And he asked the question, he said, and JD said, Paul, you're absolutely right. You know, the away team has to put their stick down on any faceoff. So I looked at my Islander buddy friend, and I said, you're an idiot, I told you. And all my Ranger fans were so excited that I was on. But, yeah, he used to read my questions all the time, and I always used to try to make a bet with somebody.
Right.
So it was fun. I used to love JD's
right, yeah.
Feedback.
No, like I said, I used to call it JD's feedback. But, yeah, I used to look forward to that thing. You know, he'd answer the questions. And it's always exciting. Like, I mean, I don't want to name drop, but the mouth was on a recent episode of Rangers Fans Most Wanted on MSG. Ooh. You actually can hear what I sound like, my normal voice. I was there. I'm on the Gretzky one where they do Gretzky as a Ranger. I'm at the end of the program. I was there at the NHL store, and they asked me my thing, and people say, oh, yeah, you were actually on TV. And that was my first MSG appearance.
How many Rangers have you guys bumped into in Cosby's?
I don't know. I stay out of it.
Cosby's down in Penn Station there?
I never see anybody there.
Oh, my God, dude. I met Phil Bork down there. I met Nick Fatiu down there. I actually got Nicky Fatiu to sign my New York Ranger jersey. I was so excited.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be something. I mean, you know, Nicky's the one of the all-time best.
Yeah.
I met Nicky, but it was at one of those Ranger viewing parties, and we really didn't get a chance to talk, but he would be a great guy to meet. And Phil Bork, talk about obscure. He was one of those infamous Rangers swingmen who can play defense and forward. That means you know they stink if they can play both. They both play both terrible.
Yeah.
So we kept playing the one.
Yeah.
All right, so we got about 12 minutes left in the show. Time flies, you know. Every week I worry, you know, during the off season because things are slow, and every week I worry, geez, are we going to fill an hour? You know, first I used to worry, can we fill an hour and a half? And then Jolt and Joe Fortunato talked me into 2 hours, and I said, how the hell are we ever going to talk for 2 hours? And it just flies by every week. Before I know it, we got 10 minutes to go, and I'm running out of time. But I wanted to since I have both of you guys on, I want to get your opinions real quick on a couple of hot topics that are going on. Brandon Dubinsky, you guys worried? You guys are you
I'm not.
Or?
I'm not. I'm playing the cool and card.
I got a feeling, Jim. Honestly, I have a feeling that you know, and I don't want to get too long on this, but I remember there something went on with Henrik Lundqvist when he was in between, you know, what we were going to do about Henrik's contract. I have a feeling Brandon Dubinsky is going to play this year for the amount of money that I forgot what we got him. What was it, $586,000 or what, or $600,000, whatever it is. I don't think he's going to get a new contract, but I think he's going to be a New York Ranger this year, and I think Glenn might have sat down and talked with him on the side and said, hey, listen, I definitely want you to be a Ranger, and I know it's a business, but you know where we are right now, but I have a feeling he is going to be a New York Ranger.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I keep saying that, you know, okay, if it takes another 2 weeks, I'll be worried. I'm still not worried about it. I can't see any reason really why he wouldn't be. And, you know, we've been over this 100 times, but unfortunately, it's still the 800-pound elephant in the room. Now, the rumors came out the other day, you know, word on, around the net and on the papers or whatever, that the Rangers might be interested in Dean. Is this guy, are you guys at all, do you, either one of you want to see this guy play for the Rangers?
Who was that, Jim?
Sundin.
Oh, Matt Sundin. Oh.
Matt
it's
Sundin.
Over. Stick a fork in Matt Sundin. He's done.
You
we don't need to go there.
I mean,
it was a topic of conversation came up the other day. I think it was originally on maybe Newsday or one of the sites. And then we talked about it a little bit on Blue Shirt Banner. I didn't get involved in much of it. I've been on vacation. And I will resume my vacation. But I have a feeling it was just his agent trying to stir up interest. I really don't think anything to it. I can't for the life of me think of any possible reason why the Rangers would want him. I just don't think he has any – I just don't think he brings anything to the table for the Rangers at this point in time.
I think more importantly, you know, with the way things are economically, and I mean, we'd have to give something up to get him, and he's not worth anything that we have to give up. I wouldn't even give up prospects for the guy. Yeah, you know, if it was mid-season and we were starving for goals and you know, maybe I would scratch my head and say, depending on what we – but where we are at the cap, and I mean, doesn't he want like $5 or $6 million? We couldn't bring him in unless we had to make a major move. And I just, he's not worth any move, I don't believe. No way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even a, I mean, okay, you're hurting for goals in midseason, but you know, he played 41 games last year and only scored 9 goals. This isn't a guy that's going to, he's not going to come in and turn around anybody's offense.
It's over.
At this point. I mean, it's over.
It's over for this guy. Why would we even do it? First of all, from just a perspective, if you want to look at the image of the team, you bring in this fossil. I mean, it's just we don't want to go back to that way. We don't want that. And like, you know, Paulie D said, financially, it's just stupid. It would never make sense. And we would have to unload. It's just ridiculous. I know. I believe this is all perpetuated by Ranger fans trying to get a name in here and worrying about the center ice problem. And, you know, again, this isn't fantasy hockey. You don't have to have the perfect center iceman to set a guy up. Gaborik, if he's healthy, is going to score no matter who is center ice, you know, who plays. If Dubinsky gets signed, he plays with him, he'll get his goals. Don't worry about it. I mean, the Rangers don't have much cap space to work on, so I just think it would be a bad move, and I really don't see it as being a concrete story as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think you're
Kelly
like, Kissio, I think you hit the nail on the head, Jim. I think you
What's
hit the nail
for?
On the head, Jim. I think it probably has a lot to do with, you know, probably his agent trying to get a team interested in Matt Sundin, because you know it's funny. If you look around, there really hasn't been a lot of talk about him because nobody's really interested. I think it's a great point as, you know, hey, we better try to do something to get Matt Sundin, somebody interested in him because, you know, we're definitely not. We couldn't afford him. There'd be too much. I mean, if you're going to make a move, you want to get a Heatley or someone like that, you're not going to make a move for Sundin. No way.
This guy is done. I mean, he's so done. Why would we bring him in? It's preposterous.
9 goals, 19 assists last year. The money that he would cost could be spent so much. I really, even on their worst day, and you know, we all know the Rangers have made some moves that we don't agree with over the years, but even on their worst day, I just can't see them doing this. You know, so other than that, I mean, there's not a whole lot of news going on. They may or may not be interested in Dennis Seidenberg. He would be I don't know what he would cost them, but he'd be a nice, he'd be a guy that would fit in well with Tortorella's system. He's a puck-moving defenseman, which is what Tortorella likes. He'd be good on the power play, but, you know, I don't know what kind of cost he would come in at.
All right.
And Ford is also interested in him as well.
Maybe you or Paul D can answer this for me, because this guy, last year he played 70 games, but before then, he's either he's injury-prone or he sits out a lot. This guy played 30 games 1 year, 32 the next, 20 the next, 47. What's going on with this guy? I don't really understand that part of it. As physically, he's about as physical as Laurie Partridge. I mean, I'd rather go with Francis Bouillon. I like him a lot better than his Seidenberg guy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mal.
Yeah, we haven't heard a whole lot about the Bouillon situation, but just to give you an idea, on the SB Nation page for Seidenberg, they list all of his transactions and injuries, and they are numerous. I mean, the injury list is long. And as long as we're on that subject, let me mention that to everybody that's listening. SB Nation, as well as having all these great blogs like Blue Shirt Banter, there are pages, a player page, for every player in the NHL that you can, and they have their career stats, a scouting report on them, and like I said, it'll give you all the transactions and injuries and suspensions that they've been involved in. So when you get a chance, you can check all that out by clicking the roster tab at the top of Blue Shirt Banter, and it'll take you to all the different player pages if you ever want to take a look. There's a lot of information there. The SB Nation guys have done a great job at putting those together. So we've come to the last 4 minutes of the show. Tomorrow night, for those of you that don't know, Mouth will have his Ranger Crisis show on rangercrisis.com. Who's your special guest tomorrow night?
Special guest tomorrow night, Ranger pugilist enforcer from the big bad old days, Frank Seldom Beaton. Frank Beaton was involved in probably some of the craziest brawls in Ranger history, most of them in preseason, as well as he played the WHA, which I have a great love for the WHA. He played on the Birmingham Baby Bulls, who may have had the toughest team ever to play professional hockey, and that includes the Broad Street Bullies. That's what's going to be on my show, 9 to 11 EST, Eastern Standard Time, on Block Talk Radio, Ranger Crisis Radio. Thank you.
What years was Beaton with the Rangers?
I believe it was 78, 79. He was a Nighthawk. He really was a legendary figure in the IHL, the AHL, and of course the WHA. So, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what Frank's got to say.
And
all fight
show.
We're
like
talking about all fights. All fights.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's all fights tomorrow night. So
it's fight night.
You got talk a little bit about Knuckles Nylund, bikinis, and Sandy McCarthy, Fee, it's all coming out tomorrow night.
Yep.
All right, Paulie, what about you? What's your next show?
My next show is the 31st Monday. It's going to be at 8:30. Again, I'm going to be talking with what was told to me as the vice president of Milek Incorporated. I have the GM to the Canadian World Team in ball hockey going to be on, and a couple of real special guests, Matt Gary being one of them. It's good stuff. Check it out. And I'm excited to move forward with this, and we got a big tournament up in October. But I just wanted to say, Jim, I was all over Blue Short Banter today, and I tell you, you guys do a really good job. You guys do a really good job. You're so on top of everything, and, it is now my first place to go for what's going on in the Ranger world, man. It's a
Paulie,
great.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear more of from people, that Blue Shirt Banter is the first place they're going when it comes to the Rangers. I made the announcement last week that we are officially on the media release list, and that is confirmed, because yesterday and today I did receive media releases from the Rangers. And pretty exciting. One of them I put up for tomorrow's story on Chris Higgins that I think you guys will like reading. It's a good story. Something I don't think we do enough of. We're always hearing the downside of athletes, and I wanted to make sure we put this out there because it's a story about Higgins. Something some of the good stuff that athletes do. And so, you know, a little chest thumping for Blue Shirt Banter. We've hit the big time as far as the Rangers are concerned. We're taking some steps with them. And Paulie, I appreciate you checking us out every day and participating in the discussions. We have less than a minute to go, so I want to wrap this up. I want to thank Mouth and Paulie for joining me tonight and helping me get through the 2 hours without Joe. And Joe, if you're listening somewhere, don't worry. Your job, your seat is always secure, buddy. There's only one Jolton Joe Fortunato. Everybody out there, I also want to say hello to Poe678, serving over in Iraq. He's a regular on our site. We always say hello to him. We want him to come home soon and come home safe. And make sure you guys all check out RangerCrisis.com, BeHards.com, BlueSeatBlogs.com, NYRangerCast.com, TheManicRanger.com, and RangersTribune.com. Thank you guys again for joining me, and we will see you all next Wednesday night right here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Guys, have a great night.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
All right, guys, got off the air. Thank you both very much. I hope you enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun. I appreciate it's been my pleasure, my friend.
It was a good topic. I think everybody enjoyed it.
It was. We were all over the place, too.
Yeah, it was fun, though. All right, Paulie, thanks. I'll be listening to your show on Monday night. Have a good
all right,
night.
All right.
Take care.
I'll see you guys tomorrow on Mouth Show.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.
Somebody's phone's ringing. Think so? Oh. Weren't the Mets just up a minute ago?
Hi.
You guys have fun?
Show.
It was really good.
Did you talk to him? Or did you play him?
He said we had a good show. Was it funny?
Yeah.
The laptop died actually. That was deeper. So from that on, I didn't hear from the video. Just Sam will plug it.
Oh, you couldn't hear a shot after that?
Yeah.
Whew, much cooler. Side here, that's for sure. Thank you.
Oh, who want to do what?
I'm just going to call Eddie. Thank you. He's my guest co-host. No Joe tonight.
Why no Joe?
Joe is at the Yankee game.
They're here?
Huh? The Mets are here, yeah. Adam's at the game. He might have. And it was pouring rain, so they might not stay long. It was pouring rain for a while ago. Yeah, they were here last night, tonight, and tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow what?
You don't even care.
I couldn't go tonight. Can't go tomorrow night. And I would have been too tired to go last night. Bad timing. If they'd have come over this weekend, we would have went.
We both had a minute.
Yeah. Hi, baby.
It's a bit of a
story.
Oh, is it?
All your friends spend a while?
A lot of them do, yeah.
Okay.
You did this, sir.
You got it, you know.
When you're done.
Sausage for breakfast.
And no eggs.
And a lot of
clavicles. Well, there's only
the
three of you.
I think there's quite a lot of these words.
think this could be a fun topic, and you know, I'll try and get the kids here, and you know, still try to get some rest, but we'll recreate it.
Right. Well, basically, what I told Joe is, you know, Joe's this very patient, you know. You know, I'll send an email off to somebody about something, and Joe will ask me 5 minutes later, you're not going to be in my head. So, what I told Joe was that I'm going to wait until like the middle of September, and then I'm going to email them again and give them some updated numbers on the show, and hopefully the numbers will be good. And then just kind of put the thought back in their heads, we wanted to do this big season preview show, and you know, be giving any more thought to it, and see where it goes from there. So, you know, how do you want to handle it's up to you, but that I just want to, just so you know what I'm going to do. Oh, really?
Flying to?
The Undercity.
How do you do that?
It's, there's like different guys around the map that are kind of like outposts.
Uh-huh.
And you pay them, and like as long as you go and talk to one of the guys and like discover the outpost, you fly between the different ones. As long as you pay. Like I'm not controlling them.
Yeah, I know. That's
why you said, how are you doing that? There's actually, certain parts of the game where you can, if you have the money, you can buy flying mounts, like my horse,
mm-hmm.
except it'll fly and it'll take you different areas. But you can only do that in certain parts of the game.
Do you ever play like with a big group?
I'm trying to take it slow with them.
Especially
my thing, because you know the way he explained it to me, they're still trying to figure out what they're doing.
You can have like outside
and,
the battlegrounds,
you know,
5 people.
You know, just putting me, just sending me these press releases is a huge step, I think, you know, for them as much as it is for me. So, you know, I gotta wait and just see what happens with them a couple of weeks, and then you know, put the bug back in their ear and see if they come through with something.
What's going on, girl?
Well,
yeah. Ugh. Heard that. How are the kids? That's it. When do they start school? Or have they already? Awesome. Yeah.
Right.
You hear all of that?
Yeah, I'm trying to
think awesome. Of, very cool.
I'm trying to think of a way, I don't know, I was thinking about it. There's a way that I can incorporate your, if I can drop your name into it.
Still every morning I drive to fucking Miami.
You know, you're there at the forepark with us. You know, does that make any sense?
An hour, 20 minutes, half an hour. It just sucks. You know, I mean, if they tell you, yeah, you're going to work from home, and then it never materializes, it just sucks. You know? Right. It's not like,
well, I mean, ultimately,
I'm taking like an athletic here or anything right away, right?
Times. I'm not looking to win any,
ultimately, that's the goal.
We're writing awards. We're
going to save $120 a week. We can save $120 a week, so. No doubt. Only two or three more years, I keep telling myself. Well, we did the diapers, not the diapers. She's all potty. Well, you know, it was rough at first.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we got a little baby, and she kind of withdrew a little bit. But we got right back on her, and she's finally potty trained now. Oh, God, yes. No doubt. Because, you know, that shit is expensive. That expensive, like diapers, pull-ups, and why they come in packages of like 24? It baffles my mind. 20 or 30? How long is that overall? You know. All I want him to do is catch the pee and poop. Why you gotta take him away from me? And Marissa, how is she like at her school? Oh. Oh my God. So she declined to school because of her boyfriend. Oh man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All I have to say is, ha-ha to you. Oh, Mom, they're all cakes. Oh, my God, that is so funny. Oh. Really? Mm-hmm. Right. sure. Great. Have fun with all that.
Right. Back to the show?
Yeah.
Right.
Neat. Sound all right?
Yeah. Real delayed. Probably 25, like 25, 30.
Was it real?
Yeah.